It's great to be back with y'all. I recognize a lot of y'all from last year, and I brag about your church all the time because this is a very unusual church. I mean, you're obviously very serious about the Word. You've got a very faithful preacher, pastor, who's an expositor of the Word, and a street preacher. I mean, wow. It just doesn't happen a whole lot. I hope y'all know that. Yeah, you do? Okay, good. All right, so last year when we were together, when we did our revival prayer day, I remember the first thing I talked about was we must gain an intolerable burden. And I said, I defined it as an intense agony, grief, and alarm at the status quo in our personal lives, in the church, and in the world. And I spent like an hour and 15 minutes talking about that, so I'm not going to go back over that. But then here's the next question. All right, a lot of times we don't have an intolerable burden. How do we get it? Or there are times that we do have this intense agony, grief, and alarm at the status quo, and we lose it, right? Because we, you know, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. So we know what we should do, but we don't always do what we should do, right? So now the question is, how do we gain, or how do we regain an intolerable burden? And I would like for you, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 15, a well-known story, the Syrophoenician woman. Now, it's also in Mark 7, but I like Matthew's take on it because he gives a little more detail. All right, so here's Jesus. His primary ministry at that time is to the Jews. He never did anything in a haphazard, random manner, right? I mean, there was always a plan to what he's doing. So he goes into this area, which is largely a pagan area. A Syrophoenician woman. That's a pagan. In other words, these people had no idea who the true and living God was. They certainly didn't embrace the Messiah. But here's a woman who has trouble. And the trouble is that she has a demon-possessed daughter. Now, mamas, those of you here are mothers, can you try to think about that for just a second? If you had a demon-possessed daughter, you probably would never get any sleep because you're wondering, you know, is she going to, you know, wake up? Is she going to get up in the middle of the night and throw herself on a fire? I mean, what is she going to do? And you know, your mama's tried everything, right? Because mamas really care about their children. And so here's this pagan woman with a demon-possessed daughter. At wit's end, no doubt, we don't know how old the girl is, but this has been going on apparently for a long time, and she hears that Jesus is in the area. And when she sees Jesus, she comes up to him, and she says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. For my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." How did she know he's Jesus, Son of David? How did she know? Well, we're not told. But somehow she knew that. Maybe somebody introduced her to the Savior. Maybe she's heard about the miracles. But whatever it is, she believes that Jesus can help her daughter. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Now what happens next? Nothing. Jesus does nothing. Now that shouldn't strike us as odd, really, because there are times when God makes promises and he doesn't fulfill them for some period of time. Abraham with a child, for example. One good example. She's waiting. And what I want you to know first, I want you to notice four things about the woman. The first thing is this. She sees the darkness. Now, in order to gain an intolerable burden, you've got to see the darkness. You've got to see the darkness in your own children or grandchildren until they're born again. You've got to see the darkness in family members. You've got to see the darkness in your community. You've got to see the darkness in all the things that are going on in this world. Utter darkness. And this mother saw the darkness in her child. She could not stand it. She cries out in the darkness, and Jesus does nothing. Then, to make matters worse, his disciples say, "Jesus, send her away. She's yelling at us." Now listen, mamas. If your child is in trouble and you take the child to the emergency room and you know your child's really sick and they're giving you the runaround and you're waiting like for 2 hours and nobody's helping your daughter, you're going to lose it sooner or later, right? You're going to make a scene. You're going to make some noise. Somebody help my daughter. Well, she's raising her voice because she's desperate. She's in despair. Now, but wait a second. Hold on. If Jesus isn't going to answer me, if Jesus is going to listen to his disciples and send me away, now I know I don't have any hope. Because she sees the darkness. No hope, despair. But then Jesus said, he finally speaks, he says, "You know, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, that doesn't give her a whole lot of help either. And then it says there that she kept imploring him. And she got on her knees and she said, "Jesus, have mercy." In other words, she's at the place of total surrender. She sees the darkness. She sees the despair. And now she's on her face. "Jesus, have mercy." And then Jesus says, "You know, it's not good to give the children's food to the dogs." Now, at first glance, I always think of dogs like what I see in Africa. These mangy dogs that nobody around here would want to have. You don't see a nice, beautiful golden retriever running around in Africa. You know, that's very rare to see. But that's not the picture at all. This is like the pet dog. This is like Fido. You know, your dog. And so what happens is, Jesus says, it's not good to give the children's food to the dogs. In other words, do you get my drift? You're not really of the household of Israel. You're sort of like a dog, you know. But you know what? The dog's going to get food. He's just got to wait his turn, that's all. And then she says, "Yes, but even the dog should be able to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And here you see unwavering faith. And Jesus says, "I see your faith. Go your way. Your daughter's healed." Now let's put this all together here. If we're going to have an intolerable burden, we've got to see the darkness. The devil has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. They don't see it. And those people tomorrow, out there at that parade, and the people in this community, people in my community, they're in darkness. They're in darkness. They're blinded by the devil. And what you have to see is Jesus, if you don't show up, if you decide not to have mercy, there's no hope. I'm in despair. If we think we can go out tomorrow, or any time for that matter, and think that by our words, by our personality, our winsomeness, now we need to preach the truth, and we need to be winsome and gracious and all of that, but that's not going to do anything. We've got to see that it's a desperate situation. And when we see that it's a desperate situation, then we fall down and we say, Jesus, help us. Have mercy. Total surrender. And yet at the same time, unwavering faith. There's always hope in Jesus. Yes, it's bad. Yes, there's darkness. And without Him, there's despair. And yeah, we surrender, but at the same time, we trust Him. We have confidence in Him. We have confidence in the gospel. We have confidence in the Holy Spirit working in us. Now, that's how we gain or regain that intolerable burden. And let me remind you, without the intolerable burden, we won't pray. And if we don't pray, we're not going to have the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not going to have any power. If we don't have any power, we're not going to see any conversions. Without any conversions, we're not going to see any revival. I think we're all in agreement this nation is in big trouble. Big trouble. And if there's not a revival, I don't have any hope at all for it. But there's always hope in Jesus. We hold on to that. So as we pray tonight, I would ask you to really think on the darkness. And we're not mad at anybody, right? We grieve because we can be right where they are, right? So we grieve. We see the darkness, despair, surrender, unwavering faith in Jesus. And we trust Him and we expect Him to do something tomorrow and next week and the week after that as well. All right? Any questions about that?